First Up continues. It's Aaron Korolnik and Matthew Cause in for Carlo Colaiacovo this morning. The Eastern Conference Finals got underway last night, Matthew, with the Miami Heat. A very impressive 118-107 win in Game 1 over the Boston Celtics. And we'll have CJ Miles, who played for Boston this past season, join us in just a moment. But whatever happened at halftime for Miami, whether it was an Eric Spoelstra speech or Jimmy Butler just said, you know what, guys, I got it. It was something significant because Miami started the third quarter with a 22-2 run, in large part due to Jimmy Butler, his heroics, 41 points. And maybe, Matthew, he was just like, you know what, I'm sick of hearing about Jason Tatum. I'm sick of hearing about Giannis and Luka. How about some Jimmy talk? And I think that's what he's getting this morning.
It was an incredible performance. 17 points, a bunch of rebounds, steals in that third quarter. A lot of it was Miami's defense forcing turnovers, scoring in transition. Boston outscored Miami in the first, the third, or the first, the second, and the fourth quarter, but the third one, Miami blitzed them 39-14. And it's the efficiency. Jimmy Butler scored 41 points on 19 shots. He shot over 60%. He went to the free throw line 18 times. He did everything. And we've seen him do that a bunch of times this year in this playoffs. Against the Lakers in the finals 2 years ago, he had a 40-point game, a 35-point game. And the key with Jimmy, he's not a high-volume shooter. He's a guy that'll take 16, 18 shots in a game, but he just does everything and he gets lost. He gets lost when we talk about the true stars in this league.
Well, a man I'm sure who's guarded Jimmy Butler on many occasions, kind enough to join us this morning, CJ Miles, back on First Up. What's up, CJ? How are you?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. We're great. Do you think there's any credence to my theory that Jimmy Butler was watching Boston, Milwaukee, the media lauding Giannis and Tatum as two of the best players in the East, and he was sitting there like, how about me, guys? I was amazing against Philly. I've been great all regular season. I'm coming out with an amazing performance in Game 1, and he did just that, CJ.
I mean, there's definitely some of that in there. I mean, he carries himself that way anyway. Remember after in the Philly series, he walked to the locker room and there's that clip of him saying Tobias over me. Like he already kind of that he has an underdog mentality. Like and he plays extremely hard. I hearing you guys talk about his offense, which has made a jump in the playoffs, which is crazy. The jump that he's made. He's taking more threes, like set shot threes, and he's making them. And I think sometimes he gets lost on the offensive end too because he plays so hard defensively in the other aspects of the game. Like he's not a volume shooter. So when you're excelling at every other part of the game and you're not a volume shooter, we tend to look at numbers all the time.
Oh, yeah, but the other side, and you're right, and I think that's why Jimmy doesn't get as much attention, because when we think of the true star players, we think of the guy who's going to take 9 shots in the fourth quarter, ISO, give me the ball, I'll get it done, and Butler can do that, but again, it is the defense, and you know, he had a bunch of steals last night, and he'll guard almost anyone. It's like these playoffs here, I think, are a reminder that Jimmy Butler has to be talked about the same way you talk about, you know, a Devin Booker who didn't do well in the last round, or a Jason Tatum.
I mean, I believe so. I believe he's as talented. If not, maybe, you know, the other thing is the eye test. You know, the game is entertainment from, like, the most of it. So you watch the game. He's not going to hit you with a bunch of moves to get it done. Like, even if you watch his 41, he's not out there dancing with the ball. He's got mid-post moves. He's got some jabs. He attacks closeouts. He gets on a fast break. It's not anything that makes everybody throw a highlight that's going to run across the internet and go viral either. So there's a lot of things that play into that. And but like you said, those other guys, always they have gaudy numbers. And, you know, Giannis will have 7 dunks in the game, you know, like, and Jason Tatum's got the sidestep threes, and he handles it a little differently. He likes to play with the ball solo. Those are things, too, that go into that factor.
Our guest is CJ Miles, longtime NBA. Remember from his time in Toronto? You actually, CJ, spent a little bit of time with the Boston Celtics this year. You played one game, but I'm sure you're around the organization a little bit. You understand what goes on there. And it has been remarkable to see the way that Boston, in the early part of the season, were struggling, were below 500, and they just go on this tear in the second half. The best defensive team in the NBA, Tatum and Brown and Smart, and all the players just coming together the way they have. What was your feel for the organization in the time you were there? Did you expect them to go on the run that they had in the second half?
I mean, I don't know if anybody expected the run to be like it was.
Yeah, that's fair.
The feel of it was obviously like everything is here, like that's needed to do what they want to do. I mean, between Jason and Jalen, between Marcus, who ends up being Defensive Player of the Year, between Pritchard coming off the bench, Robert Williams, Al Horford, like there's so much there. And this is before – I'm there before the trade. The trade happens right after my little stint is over. And then the run kind of picks up after that. But, like, there's so much talent. The coaching staff was really, you know, really preaching the things that they ended up buying into even more to make go on the run. So, like, I was surprised but not surprised that they were able to, if that makes sense. I was surprised that it was that well, like that it was so – because it's just – that's a run that you can't ignore. That's a surprising run by anybody. But not so much in the guys and how they played and how they were able to do it.
Yeah, oh no, that makes total sense. The talent and the potential are there, but to see it finally play out, and I think even play out at a higher level than anyone would have expected, and taking it at Brooklyn
for that long of a time.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Hey, CJ, at some point we'll talk about Luka, but I got to ask you, just your thoughts or just look at it from a distance. What the hell is Patrick Beverley doing? Like, I understand. Listen, I understand Chris Paul is can be a tough player to play with and take that code, whoever you see fit. But for, like, Beverley, is this just Patrick Beverley angling to get on ESPN when his career is done?
I mean, he's being Pat Bev for what we know. So, I mean, it's not – I don't think it's out of character for him.
No.
I think we just got to see the character in this space, if this makes sense. Like, just in this space and where it's only talking and not basketball also. So, like, the basketball kind of covers some of the talking. And so – the best, I mean, everything he said wasn't wrong. Like, I understood what he was trying to say, but it was kind of like it was the way he said some of the things. Like some of the things in between the lines kind of rubbed guys the wrong way, especially players when you talk about, like, saying that Chris Paul's been fortunate to be in Allstate commercials and president of the Players Association, and that's why he is who he is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
looking at things like that is crazy. When this man's body of work is, I mean, there's not a lot of point guards we can talk about at the end of the day to put above him for one of the best point guards of all time. I mean, I'm not saying he is, because, you know, there's Magic and Isaiah and John Stockton and these guys, but he's in that group, like, for people and for stat wise and for longevity. And I think that it's unfair to go that route. Now, for him to say he deserves some scrutiny for not playing well in the playoffs, that's one thing. He should be able to say that. If he's going to go on a sports show and talk about sports, I have to speak on it as it is. He did not play well.
Nope.
And that's fine. But it's just the way, I think, some of the things he said about him, like, is the one thing that's rubbing people the wrong way.
CJ Miles is our guest, and we're talking about Patrick Beverley just lighting Chris Paul on fire on ESPN at any opportunity he can get. Pat Bev and Chris Paul are rivals. They played so many tough games against one another, and Patrick Beverley's using this forum as an opportunity just to carve one of his rivals. CJ, let's just put a hypothetical out there. Is there someone in your NBA career that would be your Chris Paul to his Patrick Beverley, someone who you didn't – I'm not asking you to torch anyone like Patrick Beverley, but is there someone you went up against? Yeah, you can, honestly. We would enjoy that. Maybe you could be on First Take tomorrow. You never know. If you give an answer that's good enough, it might work in your favor. But is there someone who was your rival through your career that you weren't a big fan of?
I don't know if there's, like, a rival guy. The only guy I've had any type of, like, thing with – on the court consistently like that is Lance Stephenson. And it's not a thing where it goes off the court, but on the court, like we can't stand each other. Like, if we saw each other, like, we wouldn't fight each other. We'd dab each other up, say what's up. It's happened before. But on the court, like, we do not like playing against each other. But it's just one of those things.
Was he blowing in your ear? Was he blowing in your ears?
He did not blow in my ear. He probably pulled all the, everything else out of it. He did. And and I think it's also a thing because me and him are like polar opposites personality wise on the floor too. So like that's another reason probably why, because now it's even more annoying to me, and I'm probably annoying to him if I'm having it. Like, if I'm the one having a good night and I'm not saying anything and he's trying to get me to and he can't get me to, and then if he's the one having a good night and he's dancing in the third row, like, we're both getting on each other's nerves, you know? Like, but, yeah, that's the only guy I could think of even close to that. But it's not even close, but that's the only thing in that realm. Like,
yeah, I think there's probably a lot of people.
I never pushed anybody in the back walking up the floor. Like,
yeah, I think Lance Stephenson would probably be the answer for a lot of players.
Yeah.
Hey, CJ, I'm curious. As someone who's been in the league since 2005, you've seen the greatest stars. You've seen the rise of LeBron and Durant and so many and Giannis. I'm curious, what do your eyes see when you watch what Luka's been doing in these playoffs?
I guess, like, even since the beginning, like, the first thing, you know, like, he's, how old is Luka, 22, 23 now?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He can't rent a car in America. He's too young to rent a car in America.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, which is wild. We had a conversation about that the other day, me and some friends, about me when I first came in and not being able to rent a car when I was, but that's another story. But he's not rattled by anything. He's seen everything. You know what I mean? Like, when you come from, and I think the difference, we always talk about those guys that are good that come from overseas and the way they're raised and the way they've been playing pro. Like, Ricky Rubio was another person we talked about like that as far as poise-wise and what he's seen and knowledge and feel and the type of games he played in. And now you got a guy who's 6'7", big body, good handles, good shooter, good passer. You know what I mean? With a real competitive spirit, like a real competitive fire. Like, he really wants to, like, go at your neck. And it's just, he's just been special. Like, we talking about averaging 40 in elimination games. Granted, it's only been 4 or 5, but that's still elimination games. And it's just wild to see because he's doing it at his own pace. Can't speed him up. He looks like he's moving in slow motion sometimes, but he gets the step back off. He gets to the basket. He backed down DeAndre Ayton the other day. Like, I think I tweeted about it. It was wild. He backed him down and faded away in the paint. I'm like, he's just going to do whatever he wants. It's basically what it is now.
He is an incredible player to watch, but they are going up against the Warriors, CJ, a tough matchup. We know all the playoff experience Golden State has, a great roster with some young players emerging as well. Do you give Doncic and the Mavs a chance to maybe upset Golden State?
I mean, I've seen everything. I think they have a chance. The way Luka's playing right now, the way those other guys have been able to step up in games, and Dinwiddie, if this is the start of a streak for Dinwiddie, and then Jalen Brunson shown that he can also provide a punch and things like that. You got Finney Smith, who shot the ball well on the wings in games. You got Bertans, who can come off the bench and he can fill it up real quick. Kleber can shoot it at the stretch spot. I mean, you got a lot of weapons out there for the three guys that like to handle and penetrate and do the things they like to do. So I don't put it past there's a chance. Now, you look at the other side, obviously there's a DNA over there that's unmatched at this point in the league. You know, like they understand it as well as anybody how to win and what these positions in the playoffs are like. Now, if you got Klay and Steph, obviously, and Draymond. And if Jordan Poole is consistent through the series like he's been, like in, as far as scoring and penetrating and doing the things he's been doing, like if he has not an up and down series, it makes it really hard because you know Steph and Klay are going to turn another switch on.
Well, Miami goes up 1-0 on Boston last night. We'll see what Golden State and Dallas have in store later this evening. CJ, thank you so much for doing this. We always love having you as part of our show and would love to do it again later in the NBA playoffs. All right?
No problem, man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm a phone call away.
Oh, thank you, CJ. What a guy. Best in the business, CJ Miles, who has a future in sports media if he wants it. I mean, Pat Beverly, get the hell out of here. CJ Miles, top dog in my eyes.
Well, Beverly's coming for Stephen A. Smith. Like, just going
he
on
is.
There. And,
hot yeah, takes.
So that's what that's what he's doing. And listen, Chris Paul was horrible. Chris Paul was horrible in the last four or five games. Same thing in the finals last year, the last four games when Phoenix lost to Milwaukee. And the Phoenix getting blown out at home in a game seven, we don't see that in the NBA playoffs. That was stunning.
Can you imagine if, let's say, I don't know, Jason Spezza, let's use him as the equivalent, goes on the NHL on TNT with Biz Nasty and Gretzky and just starts torching people like Patrick Beverley, just torching them. It's an NBA thing versus an NHL thing for certain.
Yeah.
It's also a Patrick Beverley thing, let's be
it's
honest.
It's also
here.
A Patrick
There's
Beverley
not
thing,
a lot of NBA players that are going out and doing what Patrick Beverley is doing. He is one of the biggest crap talkers.
Yeah,
bleep talker in the NBA, and I mean it applies on the court, and it clearly applies off of it as well. And can you imagine the fodder we would get here at TSN 1050? There's a hockey player willing to go out and just shred his opposition. It would be glorious.
There's only one name I can think of. There's only one name I can think. Two, three.
Marchand.
Brad Marchand would be number one. Matthew Tkachuk. Remember Tkachuk and Drew Doughty? Those guys had it.
Yeah.
But, you know, could you do it to other players? Like, those are the names that sort of, that a Tkachuk, I feel, could do it, and Marchand for sure.
Well, Patrick Beverley has very strong takes on Chris Paul. He also has very terrible takes on James Harden, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's clearly a good friend of James Harden. He's,
yeah,
you know,
he
oh, super, super max for Harden. I mean, Patrick,
it was dumb.
You've been watching James Harden. That would be a very unwise decision for NBA franchise, any NBA franchise. So, I mean, we'll see how that plays out. Matthew?
Yes.
We have, at TSN 1050, have your chance to win a $100 Tim Hortons gift card so you can treat your team to the all-new, fresh and tasty Loaded Wraps. The new Loaded Wraps are packed with high-quality ingredients, including hearty grains, with your choice of either crispy or slow-cooked chicken and flavorful sauces with either a cilantro and lime tang or a spicy habanero kick. Call us now, 416-870-1050, be the fifth caller through, and win a $100 Tim Hortons gift card. Would you go cilantro and lime tang or spicy habanero?
I'm all about the tang. I will take the cilantro. I will take the cilantro. That's where I'm going on that.
Me too. I'm with you. Yeah. And it's weird how people like Coley Acovo, you know, there's certain people who, if cilantro's around their food, they're like, it's like soap. It's like poison is around them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there like that. I'm not one of them. I don't know if it's like a genetic thing. I actually think it could be something with taste buds and cilantro. It either jives with you or it's a horrible, horrible thing. And
that feels like a first up poll. Cilantro, yay or nay?
Yes, you know? I think so. And hopefully I'm not disparaging Tim Hortons and their Loaded Wraps too much. It's not at all what I'm doing. I'm pumped to have a spicy habanero or a cilantro and lime tang. But cilantro is a very polarizing vegetable. Is cilantro a vegetable?
It's cilantro,
herb?
No, it's a herb.
It's an herb. It's an herb.
It's an herb. Mm-hmm. Do you pronounce the H in the herb?
Herb?
It's an herb?
No.
What are we doing?
It's an herb. It's an herb. Aradhas Vandi, our producer, will join us on the other side for some Bang or What, a 9:30 edition of Bang or What. Looking forward to that, and it's coming your way next.